That's a bit extreme, isn't it? Shawn Mendes and Stitches. Talking of Stitches, I know that you religiously stay listening to BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey non-stop, and I love you for that. And I know you especially love the news bulletins. Just keep listening, is what I'm saying. I'm in pain. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with BB Lynch, Dame BB Lynch. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music. We have guests. We have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Should we do it? Oh, I love that sweep. What a brilliant track. I forget how amazing that is. Catatonia and Mulder and Scully. When I was young and firm. You know, I've had an idea, and I'm a producer, I might want to write it down. I think we should call this show the Name Drop Show. Because I want a name drop. I've got a nickname for Ollie, but he's not letting me share it. But look, the Name Drop Show. When I was young and firm, I used to see Catatonia quite a bit live, and I interviewed Keris Matthews for, was it New Woman magazine or Red? And she was so charming and so brilliant. And what I remember, apart from, she's so sexy. She really loved the ring I was wearing. And I was like, you're not having it. But anyway. And then about a month later, I lost the ring. I'm not saying anything. But she really, really liked it. How are you doing? Hope you're well. Did you go out in the snow? I'm not a snow fan. I am the person that slips. I'm the one that will dislocate something. But I hope you had fun if you did go out in it. I hope you're keeping warm. Let me tell you about tonight's show. We have such a good show lined up. So from 9, we'll be enjoying an hour of upload, hearing your great contributions and chatting with one of the creators. And in a few minutes, I'll be speaking with Robin and Kirsty from the gorgeous Cameron Contemporary Art Gallery in Hove. I wonder if you've seen it. So gorgeous. So yeah, it's going to be a really great show. So please stay with us. And Keris Matthews, if you're listening, yeah, I got your number, cheeks. Afterglow by Ed Sheeran, or Ed Sheeran if you're my foolish brother Daniel. I wonder how Daniel would pronounce Passenger, Sword from the Stone. Passenger and Sword from the Stone. I'm really happy to introduce my first guest this evening. Welcome to Live and Local, Robin Cameron and Kirsty Wither, owners of the fabulous Cameron Contemporary Art in Hove. Hello.
BB, hi there. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Hello. Very nice.
Hello, you two. Look, listen to you. Hi. You sound chirpy.
Oh, we are always, BB.
Are you really?
Business partners and marriage partners. 25 years this year.
How is that? How's that going? Tell me the truth. How's that going?
Glorious. No, it's so glorious.
Kirsty?
Don't listen to a word he says.
I wanted to get you on the show because I'm not going to give away where I live, but I walked past your gallery recently and, oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Darling, I was just going to say, it's one of these interesting things about lockdown and obviously having to sort of reassess what we do. And one nice thing about the gallery is that it's got a very fine frontage. It's quite long and wide, and we're able to do sort of window exhibitions, really.
Yeah.
And obviously, nobody can come in, and it's been really good fun trying to do that and keep things changing around and keep it interesting and have lots of different kind of styles of work. And it's actually, it's a strange thing, actually. A lot of the time, people are quite intimidated by galleries, so they're a bit wary of coming in, and people kind of get to the door, even on a summer's day when the doors are wide open, they get to the door and say, do you mind if I come in? You know, kind of why we're here, you know, all the time. And so actually not being open is brilliant because people can come and look at all the work and not feel at all intimidated. So it's actually quite nice.
I get that intimidation thing. You know, you don't know me very well, but if I tell you how hard I'm resisting any kind of gag based around fine frontage, you'll know that... I've done very, very well so far chatting to you two. Yeah, I kind of get that. Art is... Oh, do you know what? I've got all these questions for you, and I know each and every one's going to get dumber and dumber. So you've got to tolerate it. But I was with my friend Helen, and I said, "You've got to come and see this gallery." So again, we were outside, not allowed in. But you're totally right because it is such a fine frontage. You can kind of get the feel, can't you, and see so much work, and it's so interesting what an individual is drawn to. And I think I said the dumbest thing I've ever said to Helen. I've known her since I was 14, which is like, you know, about 10 years now. I said, I don't know if I could buy art that's got a face in it.
Oh, do you know
what
too?
Do you know what I mean?
No, it... I don't think that's dumb at all. And that's a really common saying. A lot.
Is it?
And sometimes it's not just faces if they're looking directly at you. Sometimes if it's a face turned away, people feel less worried or less challenged. It's interesting, and it's a problem for us because we do show quite a lot of figurative work. So sorry about that.
No.
It's very personal. Some people absolutely love it, and some people just think, it's fine if I knew the person. But
It feels like it's stepping
in. It's about, trying to appreciate the work just as a painting, almost in an abstract. That can be quite difficult at first, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about Camera Contemporary Art then. So you set up in 2008. Why did you set it up?
How long have we got? Story.
We've got ages.
It's funny, it's that thing. We were both, obviously Kirsty is a professional painter and we met 25 years ago. in a gallery, of course. Where else would we meet?
Did you really?
Yeah,
we did. This is ridiculous, isn't it? So it's kind of always been in our blood, really. And I think it's something we talked about from fairly early on when we got together, that it'd be a really interesting thing to do at some time and if the time was right. And so we did talk about it, and eventually I think all the kind of stars aligned and we thought, well, this is probably the time to do it. We had friends who had a gallery in London. They had another gallery that they were putting exhibitions on occasionally, but some of the time it was lying empty. And so we said, look, do you mind if we help and take over that space and put on exhibitions? So that was really how we started. And then we moved on to doing art fairs ourselves. But obviously, we've lived in Brighton for 20 years. So I think the idea always was at the right time to find a space in Brighton or Hove and open a permanent gallery. It's lovely going to the art fairs is always interesting and exciting, and it brings you lots of new clients, but it's really nice to have a home base and have someone people can come and find you outside of all the other fairs and the other work we do. And so it was a space, we'd walk past the space in Second Avenue long before it was a gallery and thought, God, you know, that would be a perfect gallery actually. So, and we kind of made a mental note that if it ever became available or we saw a Toilette sign, we would
You manifested it. I'm all about manifesting, I've decided. Yeah. Kirsty, before I ask you about the kind of how you choose artists to exhibit and kind of your ethos, who made the move in the gallery when you first met?
Sorry. no.
I see. I was working in a wee gallery in Glasgow, which was great, and I'd been there for a wee while, but while I was painting at the same time, and Robin came in, and he was a customer. So,
and I became a regular customer.
Yeah, I know. How many paintings did you buy?
It's a bit of an old cliche, isn't it? You know, nowadays we can meet in supermarkets or art galleries or,
online. I, at the time, I was my background as well is in acting, and so I did some acting at the time and a little bit of production. And so my line really was, I said to Kirsty, I said, look, there's a real dearth of programmes about art on and telly anywhere where we were in Scotland at the time. And I said, I think we should get together and maybe discuss coming up with a plan or a pitch for a programme, an art programme for the telly.
I'm so proud of you, Robin.
I totally fell for it.
No, Kirsty, I'm ashamed of you.
I know. I don't know what happened to me. And then, of course, you know, it seemed like such a great idea that I kind of quickly ditched my boyfriend because I thought this is the right thing.
I think there's too much information there.
Brilliant. Oh, so tell me, how do you choose your artist then?
Well, basically what we look for is the quality of the work. And and mostly we have to admit it's people that are mid-career rather than straight out of art school. And normally they've been trained, but not always. So it's really about the quality of the work and how that fits in with the other work that we show at the time.
Yeah.
So, Robin was just briefly mentioning figurative work. And that seems to be a direction the gallery's taken probably in the last 5 years or so more than we thought it would. And we've found some fantastic figurative painters And alongside the work that we were already showing, some abstract, some, you know, seascapes and landscapes and so on, that it just seemed to have the same quality that we were looking for and the same longevity. So we're trying to work a kind of have a relationship with our artists and our clients so that we can, have a bit of a longer relationship with all of them, I think.
Do you ever fix people up kind of professionally?
What do you mean, Bibi?
So if you know a customer really well and you're like, oh, I really think they'd love this artist's work.
Yes, we do. And you know, that's a big part of what we do, actually. Not necessarily ringing people up and demanding they buy stuff, but that would be good. But it is a bit like that, where you go in and out of your clients' homes and you work out what kind of thing they would like or what would fit in a good space. And we also go into people's houses and rearrange what they've got. And then sometimes there can be a different... Yes, we do. And that's a lovely way of getting to know what people like, to look at what they have already in their collections, and also just to kind of show them how to hang things in a different way, perhaps, that they kind of, you get used to the work that you've got in your house, so you walk past it without realizing it. And sometimes just a wee rehang can work wonders. And then, you know, fit new stuff when and if it's possible.
It feels like such an investment, buying art, and you know, and a glorious one. But it feels like a real leap. Is there? I mean, I know it's crass to talk about money, so of course I will. In your, have you got like? Is there a range of kind of something for every budget in your gallery?
Yes, that's absolutely the way we hope it presents itself. So we aim for somebody that's coming in, maybe never having purchased an original work of art, or even been in a gallery. So they can come in, they could maybe choose a print or something that's a kind of still a really lovely piece to have, but it's perhaps a print of which there are 20 out there. So still quite a small edition, for example. Or you could buy something for £10,000-£20,000 if that's on your, you know, on your radar. Or you build up to things, or you kind of, you know, a lot of people come in, they go, I really like that, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm not ready for that. Or they buy a smaller work by the same artist.
Yeah.
That can also be a lovely way in. But do you know that thing, once you bought one, you can get hooked. That's lovely. We do love that too.
It's like tattoos.
Well, it is, and I think for us that's a really nice thing as well. I mean, very quickly, I remember at one of the art fairs there was a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old boy who'd been given some money to buy a painting, and you thought, well, that really is starting them young. But it was fantastic. He was so interested, and he came around and went around and made a short list of the paintings he liked, and they came around again, and the short list went down to an even shorter list, and then he came to us and bought a painting. You think, well, that's fantastic at that age, for somebody to be interested, and then to think, well, who knows what he's going to buy in the future. That's lovely. I mean, I think we kind of came into the business as enthusiasts, really, and so when you see somebody making their first purchase or making a bigger purchase, it's really exciting for us as well. I mean, it helps the bank balance as well, but it's really exciting. I think for us, it's the most exciting thing is to find the right piece for somebody. It's a real kind of passion for us.
That wee boy was fantastic that day, because Robin, the parents were with him as well, and they were very nice and quite, you know, considered and very kind of carefully looking at everything. And they said to Robin, okay, can you explain a little bit about this piece here? My son really likes it. And so Robin started to address the parents, and he was telling them all about the artist. It was great. And the dad stopped and went, oh, no, I think you need to just tell the lad here about it. This is even better.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so nice. And then the wee lad kind of opened up about what he was doing and why he was there and his plan. And he was really invested in going to the art fair because he had some money to spend, and it was his birthday. And it really made a big difference to him, rather than being dragged around another thing with his mum and dad. He couldn't really be bothered going.
And he will love that forever, even if taste changes, which I guess it does. But that's just and the tattoo thing was a joke, but also they are such a stamp of time,
and that picture,
and that art will be for him. How brilliant!
Yes, it was great. I hope he didn't go and get a tattoo after that.
I hope he did. St Ives is like famous for the artists that were there because the light was so kind of spectacular.
Absolutely,
there. Is there an equivalent in Hove and Brighton?
I think any seaside place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, Brighton and Hove are absolutely full of artists. I mean, it's a real exciting artist's colony. I mean, and I think that is to do with light and being by the sea. I think that makes a huge difference. And it's that, it's not just the light, it's the fact that it changes all the time. So it's constantly inspiring. And, and the fact, I mean, you know, when you're walking along there, it changes 10 times an hour. You're looking at something different. You're looking at a different shade of the sea or the clouds coming in. And so I think that's always hugely inspiring for people. Mm-hmm. And I think people get attracted all the time. I mean, it's, you know, it was another of the reasons that we thought about the gallery here, that there really are some wonderful artists in Brighton and Hove.
Yeah.
And there's a really strong artistic scene, but there's not that many galleries really. There's a couple in town that, you know, do a lot of street art, and they're brilliant at that, and it's not really what we do, but there's not many places to represent some of these amazing artists who you can see their work all over the world, and you know, they do really well in London and they sell in New York, but actually there was nowhere in Brighton and Hove to show them. And it was another, we thought, God, it'd be really nice to have somewhere that you can get some of these real world-beating artists know, get them at home. It's lovely.
I mean,
I think a lot of that is, you know, that seaside-y feel brings people and inspires them all the time.
I love that. You must be missing people being in the gallery.
Yes, it's been a bit of a strange old time, hasn't it? And I think, as we were saying, we've had to kind of change what we do and how we do it a little bit, because we still really need to keep in touch with everybody and with our artists and encourage the artists and of course the clients that were still around, and that's a good thing. But we, at the beginning of the first lockdown, we really concentrated, after freaking out for a couple of months, of course.
Yeah.
But we tried to like move a lot of it onto our website in a positive way, rather than just as some information that you know that's up there if people go looking for it. We decided to try and make it a bit more interesting, and it's become really quite a nice project, actually, because the way people are spending a lot more time at home now, and they're looking at around themselves, around at their room, and thinking, God, I'm a bit bored with that, or I'd like to change this, or get a new painting, and or sculpture, even anything like that. So
what's the viewing room? Because I thought that looked really great on your site.
This is our new idea, that actually it's quite hard to visualize how something's going to look in a sort of domestic space. You can't really get the scale of things often online, or the way they're framed, or how they'll sit against a piece of furniture or lamps or that kind of thing. So that was a kind of little light bulb moment, that we could do that quite simply in the gallery without having a program that you then kind of take your picture or an image of your picture and then you kind of superimpose it onto a fake room, which there are those around. But actually, to do the viewing room, it meant that we can showcase new artists' works, but in a slightly different way. That's really all. And so as the light changed in the gallery, we shot the paintings evening and then again in the morning, that kind of thing. So you kind of get an idea of how they properly look out with, you know.
And we've made an area of the gallery much more like a sitting room or a room, so that people get the feeling of the scale, because that is, as Kirsty was saying, that's one of the hardest things. You see something online and it looks amazing, and then you realise it's a postage stamp.
The prettiest stamp you ever will see, but not really.
Yeah.
The most expensive stamp you'll ever buy.
I know, those stamps are very expensive.
Stamps are terribly expensive. What exhibition have you got on right now online then?
Online, we have this lovely girl called Kate Burns, who we've got 6 of her new pieces in the viewing room. And they're very lovely abstract, really, aren't they? They're kind of oil and mixed media, but they've got a really lovely feel. They're quite uplifting. They've got a really nice sensual quality as well. So that's for this viewing room. And then
David Story,
who's actually a fantastic artist. His works are figurative, but they're not precise. So they're kind of based on memories and filmic kind of scenes and qualities like that. So they're bits of the figure missing, or the landscape that they're in missing, that kind of thing.
They're not too in your face faces as well. So you'll be all right. You cope with them. It's
honestly,
right.
I really think I need to grow out of this. I don't know what it is, but it's so odd. How's
he's lovely. David's a Brighton base, so
is he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of our artists are. I mean, like, probably 75% are.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Certainly Sussex based.
So that's really exciting for the next one as well.
I know, I think one of the most amazing things, I mean, the pandemic's been hideous, there's been nothing good about it at all, but people have been so clever in adapting what they do, and you have with your site and your stuff. How's it affected you personally? So Kirsty, so I had a little look at your work, and it's just so gorgeous. So these the ones I saw, these beautiful kind of flowers and it all, but really like kind of warm and sultry and lovely, and I just love them.
Thank you.
So how's it affected you? Have you felt more creative, less creative? Absolutely, the last thing you want to do is paint.
No, not at all. Actually, it's always been a bit of a sanctuary in a way, that going to my studio is always kind of, obviously, apart from being with Robin, the nicest place to be.
Robin, I'm so sorry you had to hear that.
But I found at the beginning, and I'm sure a lot of people did, that it was very, very hard to concentrate and actually, you know, really pull things together, because the attention span was pretty short. And I think that I was joking about us all freaking out at the very beginning of it, but it was such a shock to everybody. I'm sure you'll agree that we were all running around like headless chickens a little bit, going, what is going on? And how are we going to cope with this? How are we all going to get through it? And then I think after a little while, we kind of settled down to the fact that we were going to be in it for a while, and we had to make the best of it, really. And luckily for me, I must say, I'm so fortunate that I have a studio I can go to and close the door, and I'm on my own anyway, so I don't have to, I didn't meet people or anything. I could still go every day. And also that I had two shows to paint for last year in other galleries in the UK, one in Edinburgh and one in London. So I actually had my deadlines, which kept me really sane.
Kept you going.
Yeah.
And Robin, how about you? How's it kind of dealt? How's it impacted on you personally?
Yeah, I think personally, just trying to be philosophical about it, really, and just think, well, it's probably a once in a lifetime thing for all of us, and a lot of people were so much more badly affected than we were. You know, we're kind of lucky here, and it didn't impact our life too much, and we could still have our walk along the beach in the morning and do some work from home. So personally, you know, when you're looking around and we're now 112,000 deaths, you think, well, you know, we've got off lightly, really. So that I tried not to focus on. Yeah, as a family, we were all right. And obviously, for the gallery, it's been difficult. We were talking about, we've changed things around a wee bit, but it's still difficult. And as I was saying, some of what we do is going off to, well, there's a couple of art fairs we do in London and one we do in New York, and or two we do in New York, and obviously that kind of thing we were unable to do. That's completely on the back burner for the moment. So that was a bit of a shame, but as I say, personally, I just tried to make the best of it and just enjoyed, you know, sitting on the beach on the morning thinking, well, at least we've got that.
Taking the
dog for a walk and you think, come on,
what's your dog called?
Tiger.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Less like a tiger you will never find.
Can you imagine a tiger called Dog? that's what we need going on here. When you start going back to like New York for fairs, do you want me to come along with you? Because I really think I've got a good eye.
Yes, please.
We always need an assistant. Yes,
thank you. This would be great.
Do you know all the good restaurants for after the fair?
Yeah. I'll help you do that. What do you hope? I mean, I know it's almost an impossible question, but what are your plans for 2021? What are you hoping for the gallery?
I think to get back open, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be a tricky. I mean, as I say, people will, there'll be a point where people think, oh, I really want to go and I'm really excited to get out and I want to come to galleries, I want to come to shops. I think it'll be a slow build up to that. And then hopefully there will be a real bounce back and people will think, right, yeah, I want to be out and about. People are going to start travelling again. People are going to come to galleries. People are going to come to shops again. And hopefully that'll be maybe by the middle of this year.
I really miss our private views. I think there's lots of buzz of those, and people have been so supportive of us and really respond well and bring their friends and actually have a lovely glass of fizz and chat about the work, and it's a very kind of convivial evening. That's a lovely thing, so I'm missing that a lot.
And we do some sort of talks and face events as well, so obviously we've not been able to do them either, and then again, that's really a nice way of doing something that's maybe not always directly art related. We have poetry readings or we've had plays, one man plays.
Do you do them, Robin? Do you?
Certainly not.
Robin's done it. We've done a Burns night in the gallery.
We did a Burns night.
That was brilliant.
This is amazing.
Like, they're not direct selling kind of.
Yeah,
that's not our objective. It's more kind of a hub of where people can come and look at art, and not feel intimidated, as we were saying earlier, or you know, like, we're not going to let you out unless you buy something. That's absolutely not where we're coming
from. So we can book you for when the gallery's back open. Then.
I can't wait. I'm totally going to be there. I love this. So people can keep up with you and find out what you're up to. So on Twitter, you're CameronArt10.
That's right, yeah. And we're Instagram, we are just Cameron Contemporary. Yeah. And of course, our website, which is just CameronContemporary.com as
ContemporaryArt.com or Contemporary.com? I don't
know. Either of those addresses.
Okay, both work. Brilliant. Thank you so much. So, and I must say to everyone, you know, even go online, have a look at the work, because the work is just gorgeous. But still go down to Second Avenue in Hove. Still go down and look, because it is. It's just like a kind of free art show. It's just gorgeous, isn't it? Which is a good thing.
Thank you.
Robin and Kirsty, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Pleasure. And we look forward to seeing you in the gallery before
Tuesday. Yeah, I can't wait.
Pleasure. And I hope everyone out there is kind of keeping your spirits up and looking at your artworks and taking some pleasure from them, because that's what it's all about, really.
Yeah. Listen, we will see you soon, hopefully.
Right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
The gallery really is beautiful. You should help get this at Second Avenue, and it's Cameron Contemporary Art. Beautiful. Let's take a look at the weather tonight. It will stay very cold, breezy and quite cloudy. Snow flurries will continue. Someone got a little bit artistic in the write-up here. Snow flurries will continue through the night but should ease by dawn. Minimum temperature -3. Oh, to 0 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow will remain very cold and breezy. It should remain mostly dry and some sunny spells are likely. Minimum temperature -3 to 0 degrees Celsius. That's 27 to 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Lola Lennox and Love Me. I do wonder when that was released. Was it just out, Ollie? Because it's such a summer track, isn't it? I love it. Robin and Kirsty, weren't they great? And the gallery is so gorgeous. And I'm now obsessed with buying some art. I mean, if you saw my bank balance, you'd see how hilarious that is. But I really want something. And it's so interesting about that, an 11-year-old boy buying art. I mean, lucky. I mean, who gave him the money? But that aside, his taste is going to enormously change, surely. So whatever he chooses an 11-year-old, he might not love when he's older, but there will be the story behind it, I guess. But like now, at the grand old age of old, I really want to get some art. I've never that bothered about getting it before, but I really want to get some stuff. And I do, wouldn't it be interesting to have Robin and Kirsty like come to your house and kind of look at your other stuff and just say, oh, this is... Maybe I wonder how they work out what you'd like. Star sign. I'm not going to say what I like. But I'd love to hear about your art. If you have bought any art, if you have a favourite painting, I'd love to hear about that. You can text me on 81333 and start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Now, this is another artist, and I'm going to say Allo Black, and then producer Ollie is going to nod his head like I'm some kind of hipster genius. And this is Wake Me Up.
BBC Radio Sussex.
I'm BB Lynch. This is Live and Local, Dame BB Lynch. I forgot. I almost forgot how special I am. Live and Local on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. And thank you for joining us tonight. I am now obsessed with art. So, you know, when you get your hair cut and you take a photo in, you say, I want this. I mean, that would be rude to do that to an artist, wouldn't it? Take something in. But how do you convey exactly what you want? If you're commissioning an artist, how do you convey what you want without taking in pictures? But then that's like going to a restaurant and saying, yeah, I want that. It's like ordering a pizza. I did this the other day. I ordered a pizza. Can I have it without the artichoke? That's the chef's going to be angered. I don't want to anger anyone. The artist is going to be angered. Oh, Let's play some Zayn. Oh, Zayn and vibes. He's not lying. I loved that. So we have got the news coming up at 9, and I'm just hoping that my favourite news item ever will be included again. keep listening, as Joe could, formerly of This Manor, would say, keep listening. And then after 9, we've got an hour of brilliant upload, and we're chatting to two of the contributors tonight. I'm really excited about that. So keep with us, please. This is Fergie. Oh, Fergie's right. Big girls, they don't cry. Can't Stop the Feeling. Did you know that was Justin Timberlake? Did everyone know that? I don't know where I've been. Here's a lovely text. Hi, sleepy. Stop it. Angry, grumpy, whatever your name. I can't remember. Angry Grumpy says, I think you should get some Hieronymus Bosch. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. I did that into my elbow. For your flat. Well, while Justin was on, I was dancing. I did a little Google just to see exactly what the Bosch work was like. And it's horrifying. And I'm sorry if I offend any Hieronymus Bosch relatives who are listening by my pronunciation and also by my critique. But I would never sleep again if I had that in my flat. Anyway, thanks for your input. Oh, you know what time it is? It's time for our first upload of the evening, and it comes from Radio Respect, which is based in Bognor Regis. This is the first episode of the Sussex Mental Health and Music Matters show with JP and Louise. And JP and Louise join us now. Is it Louise? Louis?
Yes, Louise, yeah.
Louise, got your name right. Good.
Yeah.
How are you both?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So JP, that's Jeremy Power, and who's Pat Moore, who is the programme lead for participation in the Sussex Healthcare Partnership Integrated Care System. That is a good title.
A bit of a mouthful, yeah.
Tell me about the Sussex Mental Health and Music Matters show. So it's a collaboration between the NHS and Radio Respect.
Yeah, that's right. We have... The reason for the show is to pass on some info and opportunities and also pass on some positivity and some great music.
Mm. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, it was kind of a collaboration, a number of conversations. I think there was a need for something like this on Radio Respect, and we have that facility to promote that. So it just kind of organically came about, really.
What kind of stuff do you cover on the show? What kind of people have you interviewed, or what subjects?
It's pretty early.
The main focus, I would say. Do you want to take this, Louise?
Yeah, it's quite early days, and we've got some people lined up that work with our sort of participation team. That we're kind of building up. There's momentum building up with our third sector partners and with Sussex Partnership and other people. So it's a very new show. We just decided to get on with it and start it and start having those conversations. I mean, as you probably hear, you know, I'm not an expert at talking on the radio, and it's something we need to kind of, practice and develop. But I think the really good thing is about the connection and connecting with people. So we've got a few people lined up from Sussex Partnership and from some of our third sector partners, and we'll just see how it develops, really. It needs to grow out organically. I think that's the most important thing that JP said.
And I guess this is, I mean, it's obviously as a response to the pandemic, but it's a great idea to carry on after, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. I think there are advantages around, you know, the speed at which we've had to develop digital services, and we've all had to learn together how to connect with people. It's the most important thing to be connected. I think this is a fantastic vehicle. I think what Radio Respect do is awesome. I've known them for a few years, and I've always been really interested in getting them some sort of airspace. So I'm really pleased about this.
Tell me a little bit more about Radio Respect.
Well, Radio Respect is based in Bognor Regis, We have a focus on positive mental well-being. We're a signposting service for the NHS. And, I mean, the best thing to do is maybe look us up. We can be found at radiorespect.org. We're on Facebook. The show, the Sussex Mental Health and Music Matters show, can be emailed on mhmmshow@gmail.com. If anyone wants to get in contact, give us feedback or maybe even get involved. So I think really one of the things we've got coming up on the show is actually we're going to look at how music and music making can be a positive force in a person's recovery. So there's kind of a link between the radio and also music and mental health. And certainly for me, I got involved with Radio Respect when I was really struggling, and it's helped me with my confidence. It's helped me have some kind of routine. It's also helped me have something positive in my life. And I'm part of a team at Radio Respect. We've got a great team there. There's a lot of brilliant shows and everyone's really supportive. So I think Radio Respect works on a number of levels, really, and it's something that really is going to spread, I feel, and there's going to be a lot more people that are going to want to get involved. So it's really positive.
I think it's a fabulous idea. And also, you know, there's the joy of radio and the appeal of radio and the fact that the reason why people get so involved, presenters and listeners, is because it's just so intimate, isn't it? It's the intimacy of it. And I think if you're dealing with mental health issues as well, there's no better platform.
Very much so. And actually, I've been surprised with how the people that I have as listeners have really kind of reacted to the radio show and to the radio station. It's been really positive. And it's with lockdown, it's been very isolating for people. But people have actually said it's a little bit like I visit them every Sunday and sit in their lounge and chat away, because it's there's a familiarity to that, yeah, that's sort of lost with all the restrictions that have gone on. So
who's on your dream list of guests?
Well, if I could have anyone, I there's a few people that I've been chatting to who I've sort of thought it would be great to have on the show. I guess if I could have anyone, I'd love to chat to either Brian May or Paul McCartney. Both of those would be brilliant people to have on the show, I think.
Why them?
They're great musicians. They've written brilliant music that's really sort of heartfelt and kind of touches the soul. And I think that they'd have a lot to reflect on. If it was possible to get them, I think it would be a coup for the radio station.
Well,
so,
I mean, they're a little bit pressured to now, aren't they? You've said it on BBC Radio Sussex, BBC Radio Surrey. You know, what can they do now? They have to do it.
Fingers crossed.
For both of you, final question, what would your ultimate aims be for the show?
I just think for me, it's just about, you know, making sure that people can feel connected, you know, sort of to each other. I think, you know, peer-to-peer support for mental health is one of the best ways of getting through difficult times, and being able to inreach. You know, radio is such a relaxing environment to, you can listen to music, you have those breaks, you have the conversation, but you don't have to necessarily concentrate that hard, and it can just be with you in the background while you're doing other things, if you're cooking or reading, whatever. You know, it's just really being able to connect as many people as possible, yeah, to other people that have had similar experiences.
JP?
I think for me, I would like to see the radio show continue and flourish and kind of spread the positivity that it's got going. We've got a great flow going on at the moment, and I think that can continue. So that's what I'd like to see.
I wish you both and the show so much luck, because it's such a lovely idea. Say again where people can find you, please.
So the Sussex Mental Health and Music Matters show can be found on radiorespect.org. Radio Respect can also be found on Facebook. And if you want to find the shows, they're on mixcloud.com on the Radio Respect fan page.
See, you've done that before. How brilliant was that?
Thank you.
Thank you both. Take care, and I'll see you soon.
Brilliant. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Baby Bird and You're Gorgeous. Baby Bird, that's actually my full name. Oh, guess what time it is? We'll be right back. upload time. That's right. It's time for our second upload of the evening, and this one is a really creative one. It's a soundscape from Eastbourne's George Ruskin. George wanted to document his daily walks on the South Downs, and he was inspired by Horatio Clare's sound walks on BBC Radio 3. It features music inspired by Sussex, and here it is, part one of George's walk. Oh, that was so calming, wasn't it? We'll hear a bit more from George in a moment. If you're heading out over the weekend for a walk, why not record some audio or video on your phone and send it in to us? Go to bbc.co.uk/upload. Lily Allen, The Fear. So, I mean, weather. Let's look at the rest of the week. Wednesday will continue breezy and cold with scattered snow showers, some of which could be prolonged and heavy, staying cold into Thursday, and it should be dry with a lot more sunshine as winds diminish. There is uncertainty for Friday as a system approaches from the southwest. At this time, clouds are expected to increase, but it should remain dry and cold.
Phoebe Lynch, BBC Radio Sussex.
Oh, Harry Styles and Watermelon Sugar. I love that track so much. And that's another summer one, isn't it? Can you imagine just being on the beach? A bit of Harry in your ears. Oh, I love it. When will things change? This will cheer us. Let's catch up again with George Ruskin. So George is spending his lockdown days walking through the beautiful South Downs from his home in Eastbourne, and inspired by Horatio Clare's sound walks, he's recorded us a soundscape. Here's the second part of George's walk. Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it? If you're heading out over the weekend for a walk, record some audio or video on your phone and send it in to us. We'd love to hear it. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload. Arcade Fire and Everything Now. Oh, and this next track, we love it. This is Danny Pike's superfan Celeste and Love Is Back. Oh, I want a show where I play that for 24 hours. Celeste, Love Is Back. That was so brilliant. Oh, what a voice. I mean, in a way, I sound a little like that. Oh, what a voice. You know what it's time for? It's time for our final upload. Celeste, it's time for our final upload of the evening, and it's a really beautiful one. This is from Surrey resident Kelvin Oberati, and it's his poem Journey of a Thousand Miles. Kelvin says this about the poem: with the pandemic and resulting lockdown and travel restrictions, it's more important than ever to keep in touch with our loved ones. This is a poem that's written for the purpose of bringing loved ones together regardless of distance. It made me cry when I first heard this. Let's hear it again.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Once again, I was not emotionally equipped for that. Kelvin Oberati and his incredible poem, Journey of a Thousand Miles. Gwen Stefani, The Sweet Escape. Fabulous Gwen Stefani and The Sweet Escape. Well, it's sadly time to say goodnight. Oh, you know what? What do you want to say? Send some uploads in. I'd love to hear them. bbc.co.uk/upload. So that's it. Thank you to my brilliant guests, Robin and Kirsty from Cameron Contemporary Art, and to JP and Louise from Radio Respect. Thank you for listening, and join me next week, next Monday, 8 to 10. Have a fabulous week. Be careful in the snow. This is Weekend Vibe and Jubel.